Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. This is not Pastor Al, but we will be bringing him in just a few moments. This is John Lutz. I pastor the North Coast Baptist Church. I was just on for the last half hour, and Pastor Al asked me to stay on, and he is actually out at the, I believe it's the Summit County Fair today. And so we want to welcome Pastor Al to his own show. So, Pastor Al, welcome to the show today.
Well, Brother Lutz, thank you so much. And thanks for letting me come on to my own program today. I appreciate it.
I was going to tell Eric to dump the caller. I thought it was an angry caller calling in. So,
well, you know, I figured after last week's program when I had to rebuke you and take away your colored bracelets.
Yeah, I thought about hijacking your show and never bringing you onto it, but then I thought I better not do that. Anyway, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I appreciate you staying over for a little bit and manning the seat there in the studio so that I can be out here at the fair in case we lose a connection or something or have problems. But yes, I'm out at the Summit County Fair in Talmadge, Ohio. We are the last fair that the governor is allowing.
Can you believe
that?
Yeah.
The governor has said that everybody has been so misbehaving at the other fairs.
Yeah.
He's canceled all the fairs effective tonight.
Oh, and, wow.
I believe the order was something along the lines of, they can have their 4-H and FFA projects and things like that and the horse judging and, you know, horse show judging and all.
But yeah.
No vendors, no rides, no grandstand events, no concessions, no nothing.
Wow.
But since the Summit County Fair started this week before the order, we kind of got grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Although I think if the governor had his way, he'd be shutting us down tonight too. But
yeah.
I was on my way over. They because of the unreasonable, inordinate fear over of a virus that really only affects less than 1% of our population.
Yeah.
They did shorten our fair here in Summit County by one day, so we started on Wednesday rather than Tuesday. We run through Sunday.
Okay.
And we have to wear masks at the booth, and there's announcements periodically, especially as we get more people in the fair, reminding people to wear masks as per the governor's orders. And they're also limiting the number of sales of tickets, I think, to just 5,000 a day.
Yeah.
When normally, they would have about 15,000. Summit County's not one of the larger fairs, but
yeah.
I used to come here when I was young in 4-H myself. I had goats, rabbits, and all kinds of things here over the years. And this is the first time I can honestly say that the Summit County Fair is one of the biggest fairs in the area. So,
yeah.
The governor to do it, but we made it. But the reason we're out here at the fair, it's not just to be out here.
Yeah.
Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we have a booth right at the entry of the main gates. There's two strip buildings right alongside the main entry. And there's commercial booths along there. And we've been here for, I think, about the past 5 years or so. And we use that as a way to try and share the gospel with people, try to maintain a gospel witness.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of other churches here at the fair over the years, but this year we're really glad that we're here because we are the only gospel witness on the fairgrounds this week.
Praise the Lord.
So we're just thankful to be here. We've had a couple of people express thanks that we were here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not the type of a situation where everybody comes by and they flock at your table wanting to know how to get saved.
Right.
But it is an opportunity to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to sow the gospel seed and get people thinking about the Lord, you know, because there's a lot of work that's involved in getting people saved. And as a pastor, I know you know this. sometimes there's a lot of ground that has to be dug up
before
you can even get the gospel seed in. It's like planting a garden.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just go out to a bare piece of ground and throw some seeds out there. You've got to work the ground up and get it ready for the seed. And then you throw the seed, and then you've got to cultivate it and water it. And all of these things is necessary before it germinates and people get saved. And I'm thankful we're all a part of that work. You know, Paul said that I'm out here and sitting in the grass behind a building where I have a little bit of quiet. So I unfortunately don't have my Bible with me, but he said, talked about the one that sows and the one that waters.
It's
God that gives the increase.
Yeah.
And so we do a lot of sowing, a lot of watering while we're here. And it's good when you can see somebody come to the Lord, but at the same time, we're getting that seed out and getting it into the heart, which in the parable of the sower and the seed, remember Jesus, when he explained it to the disciples, he said the ground was the human heart.
Yeah.
And the seed was the gospel. And so we want to see it take root, germinate, and come to fruition with people getting saved and then living for the Lord.
Absolutely. And I think there's a great point in there too, because the hard part is you don't know the soil that you're casting that that seed upon. When, you know, our job is just to cast it, and it's up to the individual on the condition of their heart.
Yeah, and like I said, God gives the increase. I've seen too many times where people force a decision that's no decision at all. It's just, I got to do this in order to get this person to leave me alone. And I mean, I've seen that too many times. We don't want to do that.
That's right.
We don't want people to go away with false assurance and say, well, I'm saved, you know, and there's no evidence of it. They never want to go to church. They never want to read their Bible. They never want to talk about Christ. They never want to associate with Christians. All they do is live and act like the world because they prayed a prayer. They were given a false sense of assurance. Somebody comes up, tries to reach them with the gospel later, and they say, oh, I already prayed that prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can say, you know, my computer can be programmed to pray that prayer 100 times a day, and it's not going to get saved. And it's with the heart, the Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that faith and that belief that Christ came into this world, God in human flesh, lived a perfect life without sin, and then willingly went to the cross where he suffered and died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. If somebody doesn't honestly believe that and believe that they are a sinner lost and on their way to hell and their only hope is Christ, if they don't believe that, they can mouth as many prayers as they want to and they're never going to get saved until they believe that in their heart, right?
Absolutely. I heard a preacher say, and I've been repeating it at our church quite often, he said, no conviction, no conversion. And we believe in Bible conviction. Godly sorrow worketh unto repentance. The thing about repentance, whether it's worldly repentance or godly repentance, it all involves sorrow. And we've both met so many people that because their life fell apart, because they made a bad decision, because they got caught. You know, how many times you've been at in a jail visiting somebody and they're like, oh, yeah, I'll do whatever Christ wants me to do. I remember going to Grafton and teaching out there, and guys would make deals with, they would tell you, I made a deal with God. If he got me out of the hole, man, I'd serve him. And I'm like, well, are you serving him? Well, no, I've kind of dropped off. Yeah, okay. So he was a convenient God, right? So it really wasn't born out of conviction of, I believe this, and I'm exercising faith. It was more, I'm going to use God as a catch-all to get me what I need. And I sadly, I think, you know, that's part of human nature is we're so self-absorbed. We think God's got to beckon to what we want. And that's the exact opposite of what brings you to salvation and everything.
Yes, we need to humble ourselves.
Yeah,
and
the
humbling process is putting ourselves beneath Christ.
That's right.
Not above him. We don't stand above the cross and look down on him to get saved. We kneel beneath the cross look up to him. And that's hard for people to do sometimes.
Well, sure. I mean, our natural propensity, the spirit of the devil is pride. You know, he's the children of all the pride, the king of all the children of pride. As if you if you believe the Leviathan is a picture of Satan there in Job, he says he's the king of all the children of pride. And absolutely, and we are, as the Bible says, we are of our father the devil in John 8:44. That's who we, you know, I talked a little bit about it in the last half hour in my show, was when John wrote in his epistle about, behold, what manner of love God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And this fallacy that just because we're a human being, we're a child of God, it's just, you know, it's a fallacy. We're born, of course, physically, there's the image, but spiritually, to say that we're born in the image of God is to smack God in the face and call him a sinner. Because that would be saying, yeah, we're in his image, he's a sinner, we're a sinner like our father. No, humanly I'm a sinner like my father, but spiritually, we it's impossible until we get saved and get Christ's righteousness.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we would not have to become conformed to the image of Christ after we get saved if we were already perfectly representing him.
That's right.
And so we don't. So it's a matter of changing how we look. We don't change to get saved. Had a conversation with somebody. We change because we are saved.
Yeah.
And just like in Ephesians chapter 2, if we're by grace you're saved, and you know, or for by grace you saved, I'm going to mess that up here. For grace you saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yeah.
And then the next verse says, we're created unto good works.
Yeah.
So that's you know, the way that it happens. We put our faith in Christ. We receive the grace of God that he extends in his mercy to sinners that humble themselves before him and believe that Christ paid for our sins on the cross with his own blood. And when we do that, he saves us. That's the grace of God that comes when we believe. That's the faith, is our believing. And then after we're saved, he asks us to do good works. That's what he wants us to do. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for each and every person that's listening to this program right now.
Well, yeah, and I think, Brother Al, I think, and you've probably experienced this as well, that is one of the greatest misunderstandings of people when they get saved or coming to salvation is what happens afterwards. And we use the term Christian so loosely when Jesus was very specific talking to his people. He said, if you don't deny yourself, you don't take up your cross and you don't follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And I think one of the bad things that has happened with the watering down of churches and Christianity is this idea that we're all Christians. It's a typical modernist liberal tactic to change the meaning of a word to mean something it doesn't. And then, even worse, they changed the Bibles to help validate those beliefs. And I think so many people struggle with that as far as, okay, well, if I'm only a hearer of the word, what good is it? You know, I got to be a doer of the word. He's the one that's blessed. So
and I had a conversation yesterday with somebody about faith and works, you know, in the book of James, where James wrote, about our works and the relationship to our faith.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to talk about here. And faith without works is dead. And I said, it's like this, because they were asking the question because people think it's a discrepancy or a contradiction.
Right.
And I said, no, it's like this. If you see a person who is alive, you expect them to do something. They at least breathe.
Right.
If they never move, if they never take a breath, we say they're dead.
Yeah.
And so if I claim to be alive spiritually and I never do anything, I never do any kind of works, I don't even read my Bible, pray, fellowship with other believers in church or outside of church. If I don't do any of these things, I'm showing absolutely no evidence of my faith. And even if I am truly born again, to the world around me, my faith is dead.
And that's
a living faith.
Yeah.
I was going to say, a living faith is going to show evidence. It's going to produce action, and that's the good works that we do.
Yeah, I apologize for cutting you off. I thought you'd finish there.
That's right.
But the key word that you said was, you know, to man, it the evidence is there to man. And with the book of James, and again, it's a very controversial book for some because they do equate that to salvation. But one of the things that the Lord does, right in the middle of that, he throws in that verse, which we use all the time, you know, that you just can't believe in God. Even Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. But right in the middle of that, the devils also believe and tremble. So when you're just believing and not doing anything else, he's equating you to a devil. Like, you're doing the same thing that a devil's doing just by simply believing. That's it. And and there's probably a whole lot more with that, but just off the cuff, that's what I thought was, man, you know, you're getting equated to what the devils do by just simply believing and not doing anything with the faith that has been entrusted to you.
And that's quite an indictment, really, for the person that claims to be a Christian.
I know.
No evidence of it.
Well, and that goes back to the whole thing about claiming to be a Christian. You know, there are things that are different are not the same. So although we've convinced ourselves that, well, these are Christians, these are Christians. I mean, goodness, we hear even today that Mormons call themselves Christians at some point. Catholics are calling themselves Christians now, which historically have never necessarily called themselves Christians. So, I mean, there's such a, we're all Christians. And it kind of goes back to the changing of the words. You know, the Bible says they were first called Christians at Antioch, which shows that there was such a distinction in the way that they lived and the way that they loved, because Jesus said, this is how they're going to know you're my disciples, by the how you love one another. They obviously were so different in their love and their life that the people said, oh yeah, those are the Christians over there. So it was actually, to me, I see it as the world gave them the title as a Christians, not that they beat their own chest and said, hey, we're Christians. It was the world said, those guys, man, those are ones, I don't know much about them, but those are those Christians. They're different than everybody else.
Yeah, and in fact, if people go to Acts chapter 13, you'll get an idea of what was going on at that church at Antioch before John and Barnabas were sent out. You know, you had people who were teaching the word of God. You had people that were living for the Lord.
Yeah.
And they were making such an impact that's why at Antioch they were called Christians, meaning they were like Christ.
Yeah.
They were like Christ. And so one of our purposes out here at the fair not only is to share the gospel and hopefully introduce people to Christ, help them to see Christ and know how they can put their faith in Christ, have their sins forgiven, and know that they have a home in heaven. But we also, hopefully, in some small way, we can live for Christ and be Christ-like because, quite frankly, people go to the fair. You know, not everybody that comes into the fair is the type of person that you would see walking into your church.
Right.
Especially when you have demolition derby night or something. But at the same time, you know, we'll have people. There were two women that came by, kind of, they were obviously a couple. One was the feminine, one was the masculine,
sure,
the case. And they came up, and I've had this happen at the fair before, both with two women or two men, and they will try to challenge you.
Sure.
And try to see if they can get you to become judgmental.
Yeah.
And I remember when year I had somebody like that, and they said, well, we want to thank you for actually answering our questions and talking to us, because we tried talking to somebody else, and all they would do was tell us how wicked we were.
Amen.
And I had two that came up, and it's like we've talked before, we use that thing with the three things
that
cannot do, and it was kind of interesting. This was just, I think this is yesterday afternoon, and the first one, of course, the first door, the three things God cannot do is God cannot lie from Titus, where it says that God cannot lie. And Titus chapter 1, verse 2 exactly is where it's at.
Right.
And they looked at that, and they both, you could see them looking at that, and then you could see them kind of looking at me to see what I would say. And then, of course, I really felt impressed. And here I am as a pastor and radio host and all that. I felt impressed not really to say anything.
Sure.
Which is kind of curious. And then the next one, of course, door two is from Malachi chapter 3, where he says, I am the Lord, I change not.
Yeah.
And usually I'll talk with people while we're going through the doors, saying, you know, we all lie. Anytime somebody says they're not lying, you know they are.
Yeah.
And lying is a type of sin, and God cannot change. He always is truthful. He's always right. He's righteous. He's holy. And he is, you know, absolute truth. And then, of course, the third door is God cannot allow sinners into heaven, where it comes from John chapter 3, where he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then, of course, you know, we talk about how, because God's not going to change, he's not going to suddenly let sinners into heaven. He's truthful, so that has to be a true statement. So if God's not going to change, we have to change. But the problem is, when we try to change, the first thing we do after we say, I'll never lie or I'll never sin, is we go out and do the thing we said we never do.
That's true.
And so God has to change us.
Yeah.
And that's what Christ does. When we humble ourselves and we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, he changes us. His Spirit Amen. Comes into us, indwells us, and then begins that lifelong experience with the walk with Christ as a believer, where he changes us and conforms us to his image. Well, I could see these two looking at me, these two women, like, you're surely going to say that you're sinners because of, you know, the obvious relationship
sure,
that
yeah.
was there.
Yeah.
And I just felt impressed to say nothing, and we got to that last door,
yeah.
and they looked at that, and they looked at it for a few minutes, and I could tell they were expecting me to say something, and I just, like I said, it was an odd sort of thing. I just felt impressed to say nothing.
Yeah.
And I just stood and I looked at them and they looked at me.
Yeah.
That's an odd thing. It's not always, this is not in soul winning 101. Look at each other.
It's in spiritual soul winning, which is letting the Holy Spirit lead.
Yeah. And I felt just impressed to just let the Word of God do its thing. Yeah. And so I kind of left it at that, and they just kind of looked, and I think they were surprised. They expected to start an argument
yeah.
or something, and then finally, they kind of went away, not really saying much of anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, I still pray for them because, you know, God's Word, when it gets into the human heart, we were talking, and there's asphalt on the ground where we're at, and there's a few little cracks in the asphalt where there's some grass or some something growing up through it. And I said, see, this is the way God's Word is. It'll get into the hardest of hearts sometime.
Yeah.
And it'll find a way to get in, and then it'll sprout. And as that little bit of grass or that little weed starts to grow, it might not look like much, but it begins widening that crack slowly but slowly.
Yeah.
And if you never go back and repave or anything, those grasses and those weeds will eventually bust up all this asphalt.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And all that's right. what God does through his Word.
Amen. Well, we only got a couple minutes left, Brother Al. What's going on tonight? Are you guys having Bible study? What's going on for the weekend for you guys there at Richfield Bible Baptist Church?
Yes, I will be leaving the fairgrounds here, heading out to Richfield, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road, where we meet. We will have our regular scheduled Bible study tonight. We will be there, and we will have our regular services on Sunday. All that information will come up in the close. There will be people here manning the booth at the fairgrounds. I will be here, like I said, until about 5:30 or so. And then I will be here all day tomorrow. I will not be here on Sunday, obviously, but people from our church will be keeping the booth open. And so I encourage people to come out to the Summit County Fair. It's the only fair. It's about the only fair going. I think it is the only fair going right now. And it might be the last fair for a while if the governor gets his way. Though I do hear that there's rumors of a lawsuit from Geauga County to try and overturn the governor's thing. He said they are saying if Cedar Point can be open, why not the fairs?
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
And if an amusement park can be open, then churches can be open.
Amen.
Witnessing for Christ. And that's what we're here for, to show that God's love is still there. God is still on the throne. We're not going to let a virus shut us down. And we just want to represent Christ to the world around. Thank you, Pastor Lutz, for sitting in for me today. I appreciate that. And let me just mention, next week on the 7th, I have Dave Roser, principal of Hametown Road Baptist Church, going to be with us, representing Christian, or principal of Hametown Road Christian School, talking about Christian schools. So I think we're out of time, and I want to thank everybody for listening today, and God bless. Join us next time. Have a great week.
God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.